This is December 17th, 1996. Still in the legislative offices in Oak Cliff of State Representative Roberto Alonso, District 104. We had discussed that you were making a donation to the UT libraries for the Center for Mexican-American Studies Archive of Significant Mexican-American Leaders. That's still our agreement, no? This is a gift.
Sure, yes.
All right. I believe that we had finished, basically, you're graduating from UT Austin. We're just starting to explore the business of law school. We know that you always wanted to be a lawyer. Why did you go to Texas Southern? Problems with the LSAT, grades. We know that you had a problem with the death of your father. Got behind on some schoolwork. That's where we were, basically. So we want to finish the educational thing and then get you about the early political career.
I graduated officially out of UT Austin in 1980. Prior to going to school, I worked the congressional campaign in Southwest Texas between Ladero, San Antonio, and the West Texas area. District 23, for at the time, the congressman was a fellow by the name of Abraham Kazin. After that, I went to work a summer at the Department of Human Resources in Austin. Following that, I worked for Southwest Voter Registration Project in San Antonio doing a voter registration project. After that, the fall of 1980, I worked a couple of campaigns for the president at the time, which is President Jimmy Carter, in a state rep race in Beeville, Texas, a guy by the name of Joe Moron. From there, I went to Crystal City to live for about a month, in Crystal City for about 30 days. Finally, in January, I got hired by Senator Carlos Truan to work in the Senate office at the Capitol in Austin. I did the work at the Capitol for the spring of 1981, and then decided to get back into my education. I went for the summer of 1981 through a program called CLEO, Council for Legal Education Opportunity, in the summer of 1981. Went to law school at Texas Southern. I had been accepted in 1979 when I was graduating from UT Austin. I was supposed to graduate in St. Anthony, the CLEO program. I didn't go because I didn't graduate. I didn't go on to law school at the time. I went and did a couple of other things. But I reapplied again in 1981 to the CLEO program. They rejected me because I had already been accepted. I offered to pay my tuition and cost pay on my own to go to school through the CLEO program, because I had heard that if you went through the CLEO program, you had a chance of getting into law school. I had applied to Texas Southern and to UT Austin. Both schools had rejected me because of my grades and my low LSAT score. So I tried a different avenue, and that was to go to CLEO. I got accepted. CLEO at the time had like six programs across the country. One program, but six sites. I think I remember the place where, like, Atlanta, the Carolinas, Washington, D.C., New York, Kansas. I think Arizona was a site, and the university in Puget Sound, somewhere in Salem, Oregon, Washington, somewhere around there. Anyway, they agreed that they would take my tuition and cost, and they would have me go through the program. Normally what they do is they give you a grant to go to their school, and you go through it for 6 weeks, and it's a great course. I paid for my own, but I got the credit. As a matter of fact, I studied like crazy. I mean, it's a six-week course, and I had never studied like I did, you know, in that course. As a matter of fact, I was scared. I thought I wasn't going to graduate from the course, but I really tried. And I remember one of the courses, one of the professors. Anyway, I got accepted at Puget Sound, a couple other places, but the one I took was Georgetown University CLEO program. I figured that if I was going to make it in law school, I would go to the hardest course possible, and if I was going to make it, I was going to make it. And that's why Georgetown is one of the top law schools in the country. And they had very good professors, very hard, very tough. In fact, I passed, and I went and talked to the professor to see how I was doing, because I really wanted to know. And I went to visit one, I'm trying to remember his name, it was something like Weatherby. And he says, yes, you're going to pass my course, but barely, he said, because you have a language deficiency or something like that. He says, you know, you're going to pass my course, but you're never going to be a lawyer. You have language problems. I said, okay, you know, to me, I thought, as long as I pass, man, I need this, you know, ticket to get into law school. So I went back to both the UT and Texas Southern, and Texas Southern, 2 days after the school had started, admitted me. UT said, no, we don't want you. So I got in the fall of 1981. I was there 3 years. First year was tough. I mean, law school was very, very tough. The first year, like all law schools.
What was tough about it?
They played psychological games with you. To me, I compare it to what we see on TV. I have never been in the Army, but the people that go through basic training where the drill sergeant yells at you and screams at you, the process that's used in law school is called the Socratic method, which means instead of the professor standing up and teaching you or telling you what the courses are all about, they ask questions of the students, and basically the students, through the guidance of the professor, is teaching you. And you have to stand up and be ready and basically teach the class. And the reason it's tough is because you don't know when they're going to call upon you to say what's going on. And you have to understand what you're talking about. So it's not like the professor explaining to you. You have to understand the course. So that's what's tough about it. I mean, you have to be knowing what the hell's going on. And if you don't know, psychologically, you get freaked out. Two, you get embarrassed because you get called on and you're not ready because you're amongst other people. And like all people, we don't like to be embarrassed in front of others, especially in class. And the other thing is, we were all adults. Texas Southern had a lot of people that were older than normal. Meaning 25 years old or 22 to 25. You had older people, older than 25 anyway. And nobody wanted to be embarrassed in that way. And it was also a psychological clash in the sense that Texas Southern is a black school. It's 90% black. But the law school is 25% Mexican-American, 25% white, and 50% black. And if you're a Chicano that went, for example, to all Chicano high school, then you go to UT Austin, which is not Chicano, but it's not black, then you go to a black law school, and you really don't know the culture and what goes on and how to do it, you get all surprised. As a matter of fact, I remember one situation where I got there, and they asked me what courses I was taking, so I told them. And they asked me what professors I was taking, and I told them. And I guess this was like an annual ritual that other Chicano law students play on incoming Chicano law students, and that is that and they asked me who was my torts professor, which is like accidents and things like that, and I said Carl. And me knowing that this is a black law school, the student says, well, you know Carl can't stand to see Mexicanos. And I go, well, what are you talking about? Yeah, he can't stand to see Mexicanos. And you know, I don't know what they were getting at. Then the other guy says, well, Carl's blind. So that's it happened to all the students. They would come in and they would do this deal, and you get all surprised, and then finally everybody laughs at it. But I was there 3 years, 81 to 84. Studied hard. I was working 40 hours a week. You're not supposed to work when you're in your first year, but economically I wasn't able to make it without working. I was a waiter at a restaurant.
Do you have loans and grants again?
Yeah. But this time it was different. I mean, you had to work. I did work other, but this time, you know, I had to work harder, make more money to pay more cost.
Still don't have a car?
In fact, I think I got a, I didn't get a car till December or January of, after I had been there a semester. And it was not an easy deal. It was tough because I didn't have a car, and we lived away from campus. I had to ask for a ride every day. I had to ask for a ride to go to work, a ride to come from work, a ride to go to school. But, I mean, all anybody could say was, I can't. So they said, no, you just ask. I would ask somebody else. So finally I got a Volkswagen after a semester. But that was the first time I ever bought a car. It was a lime green Volkswagen. They used to call it the Kryptonite. It's very,
very colorful.
How did you manage to elude the service in the military?
When I graduated or became 18 years old, it was the end of the Vietnam War. So, I mean, I applied, but I was never called. So the war was already over, and I never got called.
You mean the draft was over?
The draft. The draft was
over. Became a volunteer army.
Yeah.
Well, another difficult question is that, what happened to that A student from high school? It seems like the further along you went, the lower your grades got. It seems that way. Did you stop studying? Did the preparation that you got in high school wasn't sufficient? Was it too much politics? I mean, what happened to this A student?
I think it was a combination of things. When I got to campus at UT, I mean, these guys were experts at writing essays. I wasn't that good. You know, if I was to like speed up to getting ready after finishing law school, study for the bar, I was not trained to take, you know, exams. I mean, I say trained because I remember going through my bar exam and they taught us, it's something very practical, and I tell students this now. Prior to me taking the bar exam, if I was given an hour to answer, for example, 10 questions of multiple choice, I would just split it up into the hour. But what practically I was trained to do in taking a multiple choice exam, which we have in the exam that you take to become a lawyer, we have 3 hours to answer 100 questions, and they train you to answer the exam in 2 hours, and leave the third hour, to go back and answer questions that were much harder. There's some things you can answer quick, so you take the 2 hours, go through the 100 questions, and then you go back, because you only get credit for the ones that you answer right. I was never trained to take exams, never trained to study certain ways, never. And what I didn't know is the other students that were making good grades, they were trained to know how to study, to know how to take exams, to how, you know, not only the practical aspects, but psychologically, you know, be prepared for an exam, whichever way it worked for you. And it wasn't until I became studying for the bar that I learned how to do those things. I did not know a lot of little tidbit, practical tidbits that I needed to take. So when I would be faced with a situation, for example, school, I would get stuck, you know, and the pride would not allow me to ask and you know, maybe get together with other students as it related to a study. As it relates to politics, I mean, that was for me, that was easy. You know,
pride wasn't involved there.
No, man, we would get it down. I mean, I'll tell you, for example, at Jester, we'd sit around, and knowing who you are is real important here, because we'd sit around and say, man, I'm Chicano, let's get on to the next topic. And they were still going. The students on campus were still trying to figure out what they were, who they were. So to me, I was already ahead in that respect. We'd sit around and say, look, all you guys here, you are our leaders. And they would think that I had already checked them out or investigated them. Like, well, you were a president of the student council, you were a head cheerleader, you were the president of your class. And they would go, well, how do you know this? Well, I mean, think about it. This is UT Austin. It has the cream of the crop. It's very practical to think that these were all head of their class. I mean, you don't have to go research. You know what comes in there. And they were surprised that I would know. What I think they didn't know, they also knew, but then since they were still going through a stage of trying to figure out who they were, they didn't think about that aspect. So as far as politics, you know, it was easy. I know who I was, I know what I wanted to do, and would get in and get involved and get the things done and use the same kind of skills that I think any one of those students could have used and done the same thing. But I think what surprised them is that they were going to come to UT and they were going to be treated the same, and, you know, they move on. But no.
So pride keeps you from studying with other people or asking for help?
At that time.
But it doesn't keep you from asking for a ride, and it doesn't keep you from asking for a vote. Mm-hmm. What else does pride help you do or not do?
Well, anything that was like personal, real close, that's where pride would sit. And anything that was public and those kinds of things, it was an easy deal. And as time went on, I became better able to...